that you're here in the midst of us. So we leave it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now some of you that have been here a length of time will be somewhat acquainted with the lesson that God has so forcefully put on my heart this morning, and that is the lesson of wings. In the 4th chapter of the book of Revelation in verse 8, you will read about the authorized version calls them four beasts. I won't tell you why they're called four beasts, because that would take a little too long to explain. But that they are redeemed men and women is clearly established as you go to the 5th chapter and read verses 8 and 9, which tells you that they came out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So there's no question that these are redeemed human beings. And then in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 2, this same company are seen with six wings. And then in the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel and verse 6, it shows them with four wings. Now, the difference here is that the six wings show them on the thought of being in heaven, while the four wings show them here in this world. But at any rate, you will note this about these living creatures, which is a better translation. They have one thing in common, and that is that they are intimately and inseparably associated with the executive righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ on his throne. And they find their satisfaction with his blood and the purpose of God in their lives, and they're always ready to carry out the will of God, no matter what it seems to involve. But then again, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 31, here we see a picture of God's empowering Israel. And of course, his saints are always included in a thing of this kind. And this text says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, showing how that God wants his people and has given them the ability to rise above and with Christ in everything. The book of Ephesians tells us a wonderful fact. It tells us that we've been quickened together with Christ, that we've been raised up together with Christ, and that we've been seated together with Christ in the heavens. Now this is a provision that God has made for all of his people. And in the thought of God, you and I, while here in this world, filling your pew, I this spot, in the thought of God in Christ, we're raised up just the same as he. We are near him just the same as he. We have eternal life just the same as he. But then, to appropriate and to lay a hold of this in the everyday life is another thing. And so the wings, as we understand them, speak of the heavenly character of believers and that God-given ability to take one's place in the heavens. And you say, I can't. I say, you can. And one day, there's not a failure. There's not a failure among God's people. But that one day, you'll know you didn't have to. There's not a height that one of God's precious people takes that one day you won't realize you could have taken it to. We may be different in the place that we've been placed by divine selection in the body. I have this place. My hand cannot do the work of my eye. And my eye cannot do the work of my hand. Each of them are a very necessary part. But I don't want to lose my hand. And I don't want to lose my eye. They both, I have no price. If you would offer me trillions of dollars for that hand, I'd turn you down. If you would offer me trillions of dollars for this eye, I would turn you down. And all of God's people are said to be the apple of his eye. And that simply means that you are a very, very precious and guarded part of him. So, one of the sweet fancies of believers is that when we're done with this world, we're going to go to heaven. Isn't it amusing? And they always put wings on the angels over there and so on. And of course, I've mentioned before, you've heard that old Negro spiritual, all God's children got wings. And, of course, it was written by a slave who knew the oppressed and galling cruelties to which those dear people were subjected. And you can imagine how the thought of wings with its spacious freedom and glorious liberty would bring to them and enable them to look up and forward to a time when freedom would be theirs. But this is true of you. Now, so not only those back there that knew the physical slavery, but humanity through the centuries has often maintained its fortitude in the dark and the oppressing times amidst the difficult and desperate circumstances with a vision of better days. We look forward to something better, of a hope set before them. And they look not at the things that are seen, the Apostle Paul tells us, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For he said the things that are seen are temporal. Now, of course, you don't want to fasten your affections on the things of this earth to the extent that it will cripple you. I don't care if you drive the finest cars and live in the finest homes. They can be as crippling to you and as detrimental to you in the light of eternity as your hardships can be to you. Maybe more so because they're subtle, and hardships, everybody know what they are when they come. I think of these boys over in Iran. You saw the news items and it told how those kids, 10, 12, 14 years of age, they go out and they gladly sacrifice themselves because they're told that as soon as they die for that religion, they're going to go to heaven. Well, as I think of the enslavement of God's precious people and the statement of the Lord Jesus, you remember how he said it? He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if the Son shall make you free, and so I realize we all have wings. We're all free. Paul told the Galatians, we were born free. You see, we're not born to bondage. We're born to freedom. We're not born to be enslaved. We're born to rule and reign. But we learn to do it here and now. We don't wait until we get there. We learn to do it now. And so there's power for our every need to make us the overcoming saint God wants us to be. We may mount up with wings as eagles, such often enabled ordinary men and women to be superior to every opposition of their day. Samson was no great big Hercules looking fellow, or they'd have known where his strength lay. He was just a little ordinary Jew, just a little common Jew. So how could he lift up the gates of a city weighing tons and tons and not just grunt and walk away and struggle away and stagger away, but run with them? Again and again and again in the Word of God, we see this thing. They not only saw that day when they would have wings, but they believed they had them now. Right now. This morning. Thus the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews could be written. Those were not extraordinary people. They were ordinary people. They were men and women many times that were unnoticed. Little David. Why, he was off in the hills when Samson came to anoint the king, and his father seems to have all but forgotten him. Spirit of God said, this isn't he, this isn't he, this isn't see. Seven of them walked by, and here, you have any others? This is not it. God didn't send me up here to just waste my time. Don't you have any other sons? Oh, well, now, wait a minute. I couldn't be him. Just a little old lad up there watching my few sheep. Send and fetch him. We can't eat this Passover until he gets here. As he was coming, this is he. This is he. Oh, God said, man looks on the outward appearance, but he said, I look at the heart. I'm not interested in what you look outwardly. You may not be able to afford anything but rags. My precious old mother couldn't afford but just two little pair of homemade overalls for me when I was a child, and one old pair of outhide shoes when I wore them out, I went barefooted. Don't you tell me, but God knew me. Well, there's going to be an awful comeuppance for a lot of people one of these days. I'd hate to be one of those that went in and took a great big spot, and here comes the King of Kings, and, well, what are you doing here, Hill? Go down there at the foot. You see this guy that you walked over? Come up here and sit in that place he had. You better think about it. I tell you, you don't impress God with diamonds and jewels and your curled hair or whatever. That's not what impresses. That might impress somebody else, David, but it don't impress God. See? He'll put a curl in you or take it out of you. I don't know which. But I'll stop meddling now. But today, the church and God's precious people in particular must not and cannot confine life to ordinary living, but must do the impossible. The church today is not miraculous. Oh, we try to put on a miraculous and talk about power and a few people get healed, and that's wonderful that anyone would get healed, but precious hearts, lives are not changed. That's what counts. So why should we think of someday? That day is now for us to have wings. And if you expect to have wings, then we must have them now. I see the present defeat of Christians, and I read his promises, and we have to admit the fault isn't God's, that Christianity is so deeply in defeat today. He wants us to be free and victorious. His provision is more than conquerors. Did you ever read that? To postpone using your wings until you get to heaven defeats the purpose of God for you in this life. He wants you to be a testimony. He wants you to stand out. He wants people to see you. And he says, look what I've done. You don't have to have a great talent to do that. Choir sang it this morning. The outward is the same, but even the outward is kind of has a way of changing. I don't mean that you cease to bob your hair, put on a little rouge or something like that. I don't mean that. But there is something that shines through. There is something that you know. That person is real. They don't have to tell you. Read Paul's epistles. You'll see wings on every photograph of that a man. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I mentioned it in our sermon a couple of Sundays ago. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, the treasure in earthen, fragile vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Oh, to say we don't need wings now for triumphant living is to hide from the facts. So they shall mount up at you. With wings as eagles is the heavenly provision that God would have us translate into our present reality. Now, so many believers don't want wings in this life. Do you know that? They're like that old farmer that was, I've told you about, that thought they were getting a crowd up to go today. And so he didn't stand up when they said everybody that wants to go to heaven stand up. And so there are so many people that are like that. Gilman portrayed it in his poem, The Conservative. And I remember Stevenson wrote an article, and I'll just slightly mention it. The Malady of Not Wanting. This was about the grasshopper. He said, why, my, it should fly. It has all the equipment to be a bird, but it likes to crawl around the dust. But Gilman wrote this in a poem called The Conservative, and he spoke of the metamorphosis of a worm as it took place, and the worm neither wanted nor appreciated what was taking place. And this is the way he wrote it. I do not want to fly, he said, or said he. I only want to squirm. He drooped his wings dejectedly, but still his voice was firm. I do not want to be a fly, I want to be a worm. You should never have taken Christ as your personal Savior if you wanted to stay a worm. God didn't intend for you to be a worm. He intended for you to fly. He intended for you to mount up with wings as eagles. He intended that you run and not be weary, that you walk and not faint. He intended that you be more than a conqueror through the Christ that loves you. There are two views of life, and each of us have one of them. The eagle or the worm. Now you can't have both. You've got one of these views. Now I'm sure we all want wings, but not now. Here we want to be pedestrian. We fear the heights. We have a phobia, I suppose. We want to be strong and healthy and wealthy and wise with keen minds to enjoy the fat things of this world. So we never get around to developing our wings. Where there is no vision, the proverb said, the people perish. Precious hearts, what is the vision of your life? Do you want God's best? He wants you to have His best. Oh, Brother Hill, I can't. I say, oh, yes, you can. He knows you can't in the natural. That's the reason He came. If you could have done it, He'd have let Mary Eddie Baker and a few of them be your teachers. But He knew you couldn't do it. He has an exact x-ray of you. And He said, there's nothing good in you. You are short of the glory of God. Put out your best. Do your best. Join anything. Do anything. Be anything. Try anything. But you'll come up short. But He's made a promise. And precious hearts, He's made a provision. And you can have wings, but you have to have a vision. You have to understand the purpose of God. May God help us to aspire and dream and mount up. The time is about over for you and me. I see God's precious people more and more, and I see it right here. Becoming indifferent. Settling down on the lees. Stopping at the halfway house. Oh, what a tragedy. But as that old song says, all God's children got wings. Now, isn't it sweet that all of us can mount up? All can aspire to the best? If ye be otherwise minded, Paul wrote the Philippians, God shall reveal even this unto you. You say, well, they don't know. They that will to know, know. Don't tell me this little old farm boy that God took out from behind the mules and this little old 2x4 brain was smart enough to dig out what other people can't dig out. I had a heart. Remember that night in my uncle's home there in northwest Missouri when God, in spite of all my loved ones, told me, fill me with the Holy Spirit in the presence of that old holiness uncle who had told me Pentecost was of the devil. I remember my reaction was this, Lord, I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. I simply know the people that loved me and would mean me nothing but good told me wrong. My old daddy, a holiness preacher, was wrong. I couldn't follow what he believed. It was wrong. I'm just a little sheep. I don't know my way. But I'm going to take this stand. This is your book. And wherever it leads me, that's where I'll go. And no matter who said no, no matter who walked out, one of the millionaires of this area came in the church one morning and, oh, they put him up in these churches. He can impart his wisdom. Well, he can probably tell you how to cut people's throat. Get by with it. Squeeze the last drop of grease out of somebody. But that isn't God's method. God's method is to give you something. To be something to you. God don't need your money. He don't need your skills. He don't need that little old brain. My spirit has been so heavy this morning. Oh, I see God's precious people settling down, giving up, refusing their wings. But as that old song says, we've all got wings. Yes, if you be otherwise minded. If you will to know, you're going to know. God's going to be justified in all his sayings. You're going to get up there, and I'm sure you're going to talk him out of it. You're going to say, now, Lord, I just didn't know. I didn't know. Someone told me Brother Hill was preaching a damnable doctrine. I believed him. Well, he said, you should have been a Berean saint. And search the scriptures to see if those things were so, he was telling you. See? You got enamored with something that looked big. Somebody's education. Something that was promotional. This is what counts. Right here it is. Oh, yes. Naturalists tell us of the doodle bird. You know it's extinct, though. I don't need to tell you that. According to this scientific finding, it says it was once a pigeon on the Isle of Mauritius. It could fly. But there was an abundance of food and no natural enemies. So it grew fat and ceased to fly. Then it perished. When the food was gone, that was it. Huh. Isn't that something? Yes. So I'd have to say there are a lot of Christian dodo birds, wouldn't you? Instead of eagles. Called with a high calling, they feed on the sordid and grovel. To the enemy, lose their wing power. Kaufman wrote of the tame old duck, I kind of like this poem. He said, I think my soul is a tame old duck, dabbling around in the barnyard muck, fat and lazy with useless wings. But sometimes when the north wind sings, and the wild ones hurtle overhead, it remembers something lost and dead, and cocks a wary, bewildered eye, and makes a feeble attempt to fly. It's fairly content with the state it's in, but it isn't the duck it might have. I'm afraid this describes many of God's precious people who don't take their place with Christ in the heavens, become absorbed with the terrestrial things, and they lose the power to soar with the eagle. There is a saying, and I don't know whether Robbie hatches here or not, He went to Alaska, took me up there, flew me up there, and he got up there, and it was such a wonderful place, and he stayed up all night, and he'd flown all day, and stayed up with some of the guys looking everything over, and the next morning we couldn't get him up. So my friend Ed, he said, "Now look, you can't hoot with the owls and soar with the eagles." And that's right. That's right. You gotta be an owl or an eagle. It didn't say mount up with wings as owls, but eagles. And so, success, material blessings, and good health seem to be the objective of most people. But such have lost the vision of the cherubim, and that high and holy calling to which the church is privileged to attain. Such are not your friends that tell you these things, but your enemies. They use the word of God and the good to rob you of His best. So many can boast of their temporal treasures, but never speak or seem to know of the true inheritance in Christ. Far too many Christians are like the barnyard duck. However, there's this difference. They no longer can hear the call of the wild ones as they go overhead. So all of God's children are equipped with wings. It's just that most of us never use them. All of God's children can have God's best. But it's just that most of us have never taken the trouble to find out what His best is. It's just some of them that use their wings while others never do. The same trouble that breaks one of them and sinks him gives another one the occasion to mount up above it. Habakkuk said, "Well, what if?" I've quoted it to you many times. Well, what if there are no figs or olives or grain or animals? What if they're all gone? Still, I would joy in the Lord and rejoice in His salvation. Who gave, who put that fat chicken on your plate? Did you ever think that far back? Oh, you didn't get back any farther than which was first, the chicken or the egg. Did you? Precious hearts, there was something before the chicken and something before the egg. And He created everything. And it's all in Him. And He demonstrated while He was here that He didn't have to go to the vineyard and gather grapes and plant a vine and watch over it and nurture it and trim it and whatever and then gather the grapes and take them to the vat and squeeze them out and take them to the wine cellar. All He had to do is say, "Get some water. Take it to the governor of the feast." He didn't have to have the medical skills of my friend Dr. Leahy to fix your eyes up. He just reached down and... Now, you don't like that, do you? Well, that's the reason you don't get any place with him. You want him to do it your way. Can you imagine? Anybody knows that's unsanitary. But on top of that, he made a little mud ball out of it. And, I don't know, probably had a few gravel in it. I don't care what was in it. You know, what I want is the product, the result. And if he wants to fix it up that way, let him fix it up that way. I don't care if you don't do it according to Hill or the Baptist or the Presbyterians or something. Let him jump these fences. I'm ready to jump with him. He's soaring in the heavens. I'm going to soar with him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, but he just made a mud ball and stuck it in that guy's eye and rubbed it around real good and said, go wash. He didn't say just wash in the Jordan. He said in the pool, Silas. You better wash where he tells you to wash. Everything he says is perfect. He could have gone and got a cup of water and washed in it, and I don't think he'd have seen. He had to do it like he said. You learn to go by the Word of God. You don't question it. If it says jump backwards, jump backwards. If he told me the sun was going to come up over yonder in the morning, and I knew it was him that told me, I'd look for it to rise over them mountains in the morning. He can't tell a lie. Oh, yes. Abraham sat in a tent, looked for a city which had foundations. Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord took away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Saul fell on his sword, but Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. One man imprisoned on Patmos saw the program of the coming ages. God gave him the book of Revelation. One saw the army of the Assyrians, the other saw God's army. One saw giants in the land, the other saw God in the land. What did you see? What's your vision? What's he holding out in front of you this morning? You say, oh, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Brother Hill, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, I hope you believe that. Because God has a promise that tells you you can. He isn't bankrupt. He hasn't gone out of business. His arm is not shortened that it can't save. His hair hasn't grown heavy like mine that he can't hear. He hasn't lost his teeth. He is perpetually and forever the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. While every head is bowed, God tugging at your heart, you're going to respond to him? Do you want help? Raise your hand on this left side. Oh, you don't want him to help you, huh? Is that what it is? Is that what you're saying? You don't want wings? I want to squirm. I don't want to be a fly. I want to be a worm. Sure, I have no idea of this thing that you're offering in this middle section over on my right. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to have your way. Amen. Robert?